Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there, if you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
And now, the Lost and Bastard Review, the Mythic Sisterhood, and Long History Inc. gladly present No Borders, No Races, Top 20 Albums of 2016, Part 2.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to the second half of our Top 20 Albums of 2016 Countdown. I am your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. And if you're hearing this, congrats! 2016 didn't kill you off! You survived one of the worst years of our generation! Well done! Have yourselves a cookie. Seriously, eat the cookie. It's got a little special ingredient just for you. And that is pure love. And a shit ton of weed, because that's legal in Massachusetts now! And if you thought the first half of the show was something, well, you ain't seen nothing yet. We've got picks number 10 to 1 coming your way. 5 from Japan, 3 from America, 1 from England, and 1 from Australia. It is one hell of an eclectic list. But before we dive into the second half, let's look at the picks from last week in our 20 to 11 recap.
20 to 11 recap. We're gonna have
pancakes for dinner. Number 20. The Triangle of Success, a motivational inspiration audio guide to achieving your dreams by Cuckoo Kangaroo. Number 19, Five by Molise. Number 18, White at the Coyote Palace by Kristen Hirsch. Number 17, Cosmic Explorer by Perfume. Number 16, Phantom by Hikaru Utada. Number 15, Adore Life by Savages. Number 14, Zone of Zen by Shingo 2 and Cradle Orchestra. Number 13, T-Rex from a Tiny Space Digimon by Guitar Wolf. Number 12, Case Langviers by Case Langviers. Number 11, Stroll and Roll by The Pillows. And now, without further ado, let's continue on with our list, starting with number 10. In 2015, rap legends De La Soul went to Kickstarter to raise funds for what would be their ninth album, That record, De La Soul, and the Anonymous Nobody will bring back old-school hip-hop skills with a wide range of styles and attitude. Right at the start with Royalty Capes, the record practically reclaims the throne for Dave, Maestro, and Postinus, with a plethora of killer guests lending a hand, including Damon Albarn, Usher, 2 Chainz, and Little Dragon. De La Soul cruises into the ears of his listeners with a dose of funk and classical sensibilities. De La Soul and the Anonymous Nobody is the type of record that lifts up your spirits with the sickest beats and slickest rhymes, which is why it pops up on our list at number 10. Accompanied by the one and only Snoop Dogg, here are De La Soul with Pain.
Yeah.
Mono is one of those bands that you can't say enough great things about. The masters of instrumental post-rock, the Tokyo-based artists returned this year with their 9th album, The Powerful, Requiem for Hell. Bringing back string sections on this record, the quartet brings forth a return to their more orchestral sounds that were featured in 2009's Hymn to the Immortal Wind and 2012's For My Parents. It results in some of the most beautiful recordings of the year, with Death and Rebirth and its title track roaring with pain and somberness. Always daring to the very end, Requiem for Hell tears at the heartstrings before sewing it back up with love and tenderness, which is why it's here on our list at number 9. From Requiem for Hell, here are Mono with Stellar.
Mina-san, akemashite omedetou gozaimasu. Hi, this is Tom Molesky sending my best wishes for 2017 from Japan to everyone at No Borders, No Race and the Boston Bastard Brigade. I volunteer as an indie music promoter here, which means I'm both poor and lonely, but I'd like to give my pick for favorite album of 2016, and that's Lolis's 5. The band has come a long way from their original album Dr. Ray in 2008 with a much richer and more mature sound. If you're in the Chiba area, come down to my next event, The World Music Garage Volume 4 at Live House Anga on Friday, January 27th.
Thanks, Tom. He's always got a lot of great artists for his shows, going back to even the Iro Iro days. So definitely check out World Music Garage if you find yourselves in Chiba later this month. And a fine pick for best album of 2016. As mentioned earlier, Melissa's 5 was our pick at number 19, so you can't go wrong with this release, that's for sure. So, let's move on to our list with our number 8 pick for top records of the year. Japanese rockers Galileo Galilei might have sadly called it quits this year, but not before delivering to its fans one final album. See in the Darkness is an indie rock dreamscape that served as a reminder of why I fell in love with the rock sounds of the Land of the Rising Sun in the first place. Taken from the same river of the likes of the Beach Boys, Dr. Dog, and the Pixies, the album hops around with the right amount of hipster glee without reaching pretentious heights. From the shoegazer Ghost and the anguish-filled blues to the top peak-reaching climber, See in the Darkness is simply a joy to experience for listeners all across the world, even if it's the band's final record. It's why it's here on our list at number 8. From See in the Darkness, here are Galileo Galilei with Aoi Chi.
Oh,
English folk master Skinny Lister are a band that continuously know how to bring a party in vinyl form, and it's no different with their third album, The Devil, The Heart, and The Fight. Showing a sign of maturity, albeit not enough to ruin the fun, the band tears it up with openers Wanted and Georgie Lad, taking a serene breather here and there with Devil and Me and Reunion. An album worthy of taking on the mightiest of seas, The Devil, The Heart, and The Fight is a true powerhouse of English folk, breaking that hideous third album curse that other folk artists of today like Mumford & Sons and Edward Sharpe were unable to defeat. Which is why it moseys onto our chart at number 7. From The Devil, The Heart, and The Fight, here are Skinny Lister with Tragedy, A minor.
This is Michael Garrow-Kelly, composer of Valhalla, Yuppie Psycho, and guest contributor for Y2K, and I'm very excited and honored to be able to share with you my pick for Best Gaming Soundtrack of 2016. That pick is going to be Final Fantasy XV soundtrack composed by Yoko Shimomura. Now, interestingly enough, the soundtrack to Final Fantasy XV didn't stand out to me at first. The compositions, of course, were outstanding, but they were missing the magical and synthetic feeling from past Final Fantasies that I had grown accustomed to. You know, and I'm thinking of entries like Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy X, and Final Fantasy XIII in particular that really had a wonderful blend of orchestral and synthetic elements to create a memorable atmosphere. But with that being said, the more I played the game, the more I began to take notice of how the music perfectly complemented the world and the characters of Final Fantasy XV. From the epic battle themes of Hellfire and Apocalypsis Aquarius, to the soothing and catchy melodies of Golden Key, Lestalem, and Cape Kine, Final Fantasy XV has been branded as a fantasy based on reality, and the music follows that spirit to a T. So while the music is stripped back of all the synthetic elements and things like that, it truly does have something to offer that's extremely memorable and perfect for the setting that it takes place in. And with that being said, not only does the music of Final Fantasy XV stand out to me as a gem of the past year, but it actually stands out to me as a gem within the series itself. Thank you.
Thanks, Garode, not just for your pick, but for telling me how to properly pronounce your name. An incredibly epic soundtrack Final Fantasy XV had, so it's a great choice for your favorite of the year. And that's the thing, while a lot of people, myself included, focus more on actual artist albums, there's a plethora of soundtracks that are released each year in gaming, movies, anime, and so on, some of which totally deserve to be on any top albums chart list. And in all honesty, last year I almost did that for Hotline Miami 2, but then decided to place it on a much higher pedestal next to the top regular album of the year. It's the way I roll is all, but I'm sure some of you out there have soundtrack picks that you'd place on your annual record list. With that little explanation done, let's return to our regular list, continuing on with number 6. NanoRipe have the knack to bring forth a level of positivity with the aid of some epic worldly rock and powerful vocals. Their fifth album, Space Echo, arrived during a peculiar moment in the band's life, with the announcement of bassist Nobuyuki Abe and drummer Yuki Aoyama departing the group at the end of the year. Nevertheless, the two rock it hard with vocalist-guitarist Kimiko and guitarist Jun Sasaki with all of their might in such songs as Luminary, System, and Another End. Anime fans, of course, will recognize their contributions to Nononbiori Repeat and Food Wars with Kodoma Kotodama and Snowdrop, two songs that have yet to overstay their welcome, and probably never will. Even though Space Echo arrived during a tremulous time for NanoRipe, the album was filled to the brim with enough warm fuzzies to keep us at bay until the band reemerges, hopefully as strong as ever. Number 6 in our charts, Space Echo by NanoRipe, and from that record is Dia.
Hi.
You'll have a weird situation on your hands if you piss off Beyoncé Knowles. On one hand, you'll feel the fiery wrath that Mrs. Jay-Z will enact on your body and soul, forever burning you and pushing you away from all of society. On the other hand, she'll then record one of the most badass R&B albums of the decade, which is what happened with this year's Lemonade. I don't know who pushed Sasha Fierce's buttons, but can you kindly sacrifice yourself for the greater good and keep on doing it? From its somber opener, Pray You Can Catch Me, and the sneering sorry, to the angry groove known as Love Drought and the bluesy All Night, Beyoncé's Lemonade is a ruthless powerhouse of anger. It's an album that strangles its listener, giving him an audible source of autoerotic asphyxiation, which is why it's on our list at number 5. From Lemonade and accompanied by Jack White, here is Beyoncé with Don't Hurt Yourself.
Hello, universe! My name is Tyler Abstract. Thank you so much, King Baby Duck, for having me on your 2016 Albums of the Year Spectacular. So I'm going to get straight into mine, which was Deftones and their release, Gore. I was very much looking forward to this one this year. I am a huge Deftones fan and have been since high school or so. And not a lot of people know that they've been together since about 1988. So solid run so far, and they're still going strong and releasing studio albums with solid work and touring the world to support their art. So that was a really great album I needed this year. And Deftones, if you're not familiar with them, they unfortunately, most people coin them under nu metal, which really does not make any sense to me, because I feel they're a lot more complex than that. They have a lot of influences from, of course, metal, but also from shoegaze, post-rock, synth-pop, R&B even. I mean, in the past they've done awesome covers of Sade and The Cars and all kinds of stuff. So they're not to be coined as a specific genre, and this is the perfect place to be talking about this, because this is no borders, no race. So, very much enjoy the Deftones sound. They're well-rounded and highly influenced material, and of course this one comes through. There's all kinds of stuff. Very dreamy, very echoey. I just love it. So dream on with this Deftones Gore album. And before I get into the track I chose to present, which is always tough, I always change my mind about six times, but we will get into some honorable mentions. The first one, close runner-up to the Deftones Gore, was Astronoid and their album Air, which is a new budding band, kind of came out of nowhere, a bunch of young guys. And Jiggy-san was so kind to present this in the first half of this two-episode spectacular. And so if you want to hear about that, definitely check out the first half, which you should anyways. And it's it's Jiggy-san coined it as dream thrash, which I like. That's a term I've not heard before, but I like that. It's very dreamy. The vocals are sing-songy instead of screamy, but the drums kind of have this parallel to black metal, blast beat type stuff, but it works really good. Very awesome, somewhat conceptual album. Very consistent, but great sound. Really, really solid album. And I'm close friends with Jiggy-san, and we had the pleasure of going to see them live in Boston. And that was their record release show of that album, which is their first album. And they played the entire album in full, which is amazing. That's always a pleasure when those things kind of happened. And we were able to see that live. A few other good examples of album shows were Boris this year. They played Pink in its entirety. And technically this year, it was right after New Year's Eve, so past midnight, we saw Andrew W.K. Play I Get Wet in its entirety. So definitely awesome to see someone really just appreciate the full-length album, and that's why I'm so honored to be here on King Baby Duck's show, who is helping celebrate, you know, all the awesome, amazing artists who have released material this year, and people need to really just take the time and appreciate a full album. It tends to be a struggle sometimes for people to pay attention to a full album, but when I come across people who appreciate an entire full-length album and give it the time, that's just the bee's knees for me. So thank you, King Baby Duck, sorry about that, for putting this together. Okay, so there's Air, Astronoid, and their album Air. And then after that was Blink-182 with their album California. I was definitely a sucker for this one. There's many mixed opinions about Blink-182, but I think this is a great, somewhat of a comeback album. It's missing a member, but it was replaced by a member from Acheline Trio, and I definitely love Acheline Trio, and he brought in a bit of his influence in there to the Blink album, but still worked. It's really great, really fun, uplifting. So check out Blink 182 California and their very, very California-y album. Alright, and the third runner-up was Brujeria with their release Pocho Aztlan. And if you don't know about Brujeria, they are one of the most political, raw, extreme metal bands I have ever really come across. They're straight from Mexico, majority of the members. Definitely was birth of that. One of the guitarists from Fear Factory was a founding member of that. So if that, you know, says anything into the guitar work, but Brujeria is very raw, street Mexican, political, just brutal stuff. Amazing, and it was their first release in about 15 years, so great to see them back on the map and really spreading the truth of all the terrible things in the world, but somebody needs to bring these to light, because otherwise they will just continue to happen. So definitely check out Brujeria if you know you have the will to get really hardcore into politics and truth and everything. So definitely check that out. Check out the other two mentions. And the track I'm going to play from my pick of the year, Deftones' Gore, will actually be the album title track, Gore. And this was a tough one because every track was great, but that's kind of what I narrowed down to. It might change tomorrow, but releasing it, we're going with Deftones, the album Gore, and the song Gore. So, Kanpai! We'll be right back.
to the fucking yeah. Awesome choice for album of the year pick, Tyler. I remember seeing Deftones open up for System of a Down a couple years ago at the Comcast Center, and they put on one hell of a set. And some nice honorable mentions, too. I guess Tyler and Jiggy Song really want us all to check out Astronoid. And be sure to check out Tyler's Abstract Japan podcast show, the other Boston-based Japanese music show, and you can find that at abstractjapan.com. One of these days, that crossover episode has to happen. Maybe in 2017. Fingers crossed. Anywho, let's jump back onto our top albums list, starting back up at number 4. When you need the absolute best jazz the human body can handle, look no further than Soil and Pimp Sessions. Their 11th album, Black Track, cools down the death jazz sextet, replacing the loud and chaotic sounds they're known for with something more cooler and mellow. Pianist Jose takes center stage with the likes of Cantaloupe Island and One for Carmen, with the rest of the band waltzing along with him to craft a record that calls back to the era of John Coltrane and the Vince Guaraldi trio. Cool as ice and as powerful as a mighty waterfall, Soil and Pimp Sessions once again proves who the king of the jazz genre is with Black Track, number 4 on our list. From Black Track, here is Soil and Pimp Sessions with Papaya Pie Pop.
Bye.
Cave and his family dealt with a painful blow with the death of their son, Arthur. The loss of his child pushed him towards the darkest point of his life. But through the darkness, he rediscovered the light, as well as his most powerful album in years. Skeleton Tree, the 16th LP from Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, deals with death, loss, and the waves that are the aftermath of a major catastrophe. Nick Cave tears a new asshole in the powers that be and punches the mightiest of gods square in the face for all the horrors and suffering they have caused. From its opener, Jesus Alone, and the soul-crushing Girl of Ember, to the poetic Anthropocene and the beautiful Distant Sky. Skeleton Tree is an album about the most harrowing of pain that will surprisingly soothe listeners when their broken hearts desire comfort, which is why it's here on our list at number 3. From Skeleton Tree, here is Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds with I Need You.
Nothing really matters. and today, no matter how hard I try. When you're standing in the air, and baby, nothing, nothing, nothing,
Jonathan from Wicked Anime here. I don't often buy CDs, but whenever I do, it's usually something that's very important to my collection. This year, my album pick of the year is Blue Man Group's latest album, 3. Now, Blue Man Group doesn't necessarily put out the best albums, and that's because they've always been constructed to be a live show. And while The Complex was an actual rock CD that had some really amazing tracks on it, it still doesn't compare to seeing Blue Man Group live because they're showmen. They're meant to be on stage. But this album, 3, probably describes that the most. It's nothing special in listening to it just in audio format. But if you know the instruments that they've literally created for this album, or if you know what it looks like when you watch them play these intricate machines of their own design, it's just, it's an amazing symphony of color and showmanship that you just know that Blue Man Group will forever put on. I mean, seriously, if you haven't seen Blue Man Group live, there's something missing in your life because you need to see Blue Man Group. You can't just listen to them. While listening to them is great because they're wonderful musicians and they put out such creative tracks, it's just something that you have to go to them and experience for yourself. And it's really important to note that they have a new album this year because it's actually the 25th anniversary of Blue Man Group. I can't believe it's actually been that long. Blue Man Group's been around since I was 1 year old. But it's something important to me because I've been such a big fan of Blue Man Group for my entire life. And the fact that I've seen their show continue for 25 years is super important because they've changed the game when it comes to things like stage shows and variety and what it means to be talented. You can just do what comes to mind and be an artist for it. And that's why this album is so important to me. My album pick for this year is Blue Man Group's 3.
Hey, Evan, and thanks for having me back on this year's top albums of 2016. I actually had quite a few albums this year that were in my tops. Some honorable mentions that I'd like to throw out there. We had an Amon Amarth release this year. We had some El Creepo, the new CD Bellissimo. Anything that Todd Smith releases is just plain gold. And one of my favorite musicians from Dope Stars Inc. Released a single album, which was Victor Love in Techromancy. But on top of all that, I have to break it down simply to the album that I had the most fun listening to, and still have the most fun listening to as I listen to it now. And it came down to Sabaton's new release this year, The Last Stand. You see, Sabaton is a very interesting band when it comes to the epic metal genre, or the power metal genre, as they create themes for themselves, such as for The Art of War, and every song had to do with the style of battle from a different culture, or Heroes, where every song on the album was all about war heroes and specific people that brought justice to whatever army they were fighting for. where The Last Stand is all about the final major turning points of every battle of famous armies throughout history. One of my favorite tracks on The Last Stand is, in fact, The Last Stand, a song about an army of the Vatican fighting their enemies to the death as they're being pushed up the steps closer and closer to the Holy City. Sabaton's flavor of metal is always fast, quick, and punchy with their riffs, and they always are able to deliver their message in the most fun way possible, even though they're always talking about war and battle. Every song is an anthem of glory, whether it be this album or their earlier albums. They always sing about heroics and the will to fight for whoever they're fighting for. Being a listener of metal for a pretty long time now, Sabaton is actually fairly new to my library, only discovering them while I was at a baby metal concert earlier this year with a bunch of friends, and we all heard Sabaton go on with Swedish Pagans, and we just all fell instantly in love with them. And I gotta say, Sabaton is one that I'm still just continuously falling in love with. So that's why my album pick of 2016 is Sabaton's The Last Stand. Back to you, Evan.
Thanks, Andrew. Awesome album picks. Blue Man Group and Sabaton, two completely different artists concocting some pretty kick-ass music in 2016. And as mentioned in the previous episode, the reason why they're not on my list is because I didn't have time to listen to them. As a gaming, anime, and music journalist, you can only juggle so much at a time. But yes, I'm very happy with those choices. Well, we're coming down to the final two picks on our list, so let's find out right now who's grabbing the silver medal. Even a street-walking cheetah needs a moment in the shade, although it's still probably thinking of eating gazelles and pouncing on female mates when in cool-down mode. It was a rock and roll team-up the most fanboyed rockers could only dream about, yet 2016 delivered it on a silver platter. The godfather of punk, Iggy Pop, and Queens of the Stone Age frontman Joshua Homme returned to the era of The Idiot and Lust for Life, crafting a final part to an unknowing trilogy first started by Pop and the late David Bowie. Post-pop depression finds that rock star from the late 70s tired and suffering from the non-stop partying and drug use, breaking into the heart of a lost love and searching for Valhalla. Even when acting completely cool in Sunday and in the lobby, Iggy Pop finds a way to still let that wild man loose and tear through a few throats for good measure. Just listen to album closer Paraguay, and you'll understand why there's still plenty for Iggy Pop to be pissed off at in this cesspool of a planet. Number two on our list, Post-Pop Depression by Iggy Pop, and from that record is German Days.
Germany, my Germany.
Thus, we have come to the creme de la creme of the list, the 2016 Album of the Year. And you can probably guess what it's going to be by now. We had rock legends, amazing team-ups, and even couple final records from disbanding bands. But when I look at 2016, only one album shone the brightest out of all that were in my path. A group that had a lot to prove with their second album. And not only did they succeed, they managed to quiet down a bunch of elitist haters with the most eclectic and fast-paced metal album of the year. Of course, we are talking about the trio of Sue Metal, Yui Metal, and Moe Metal, better known as Baby Metal. This was the year of Baby Metal. From a critically acclaimed world tour and selling out the Tokyo Dome two nights in a row, to a very successful UK opening slot with Red Hot Chili Peppers. But it all began in April with the release of their sophomore record, Metal Resistance. We got a sneak peek at what was to come in February with Karate, and we were in complete shock by the maturity the group showcased, both from the leading ladies and the commie band that backs them. Then the album came out, blowing away everyone's expectations by taking a more serious route compared to their playful self-titled debut. It results in one head-turner after another, from the heavy rocking Road to Resistance and Yava to the cutesy GJ and the power ballads No Rain, No Rainbow and Amore. Not only did it serve as proof that Baby Metal weren't going anywhere anytime soon, but it cemented them as a true staple of the metal scene. Those who laughed at the band before, they aren't laughing now. Loved by fans and critics alike, and finally winning over a good chunk of those who didn't want to understand them, Baby Metal's Metal Resistance was sheer proof that you could headbang with a smile. And to me, that's a good enough reason to give them our pick for Album of the Year. In a year where we lost so many greats and iconic figures, with both George Michael and the mother-daughter duo of Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher now joining that long list, Baby Metal's Metal Resistance is an album with a sun-beamed light and enough loud, violent riffs to get us through this troubling year. We need joy in a spiky realm to get our anger and angst out, and this is the perfect record for it. It may not bring back everyone we love from the dead, but at the very least, Metal Resistance will bring us to a well-deserved happy place, helping us forget our troubles and march towards a hopefully better 2017. Our pick for Album of the Year, Metal Resistance by Baby Metal. Here now is a song about the trio traveling via a peppermint-flavored time machine, and it's called Awadama Fever.
Bye.
that's it. Our top 20 albums of 2016 has come to an end. And by the time of this airing, so has the cancerous year of 2016 itself. May it fall off a cliff into a pit of fiery used needles. Music, anime, and video games kicked ass that year, but everything else just plain sucked. So good riddance, 2016, and may we have a better 2017. And before we wrap things up, let's do some shameless promos. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter at king_baby_duck, on Twitch at twitch.tv/onthestreetinc, on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, and on the J-pop, anime, and video games amino pages at kingbabyduckesh. Like us on facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade and on facebook.com/landofesh. And don't forget about all the other shows and sites under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smashed Rook, and Nerd Crave. Now, I know we just heard from him a segment or two ago, but Wicked Anime's got something else planned for later this week. Gents, take the wheel.
Yeah, we have something else that's super important to talk about.
Yeah, if you guys want to come over to our show over on Wicked Anime, you can also join Evan and Sarah from 42's Anime Reviews, because we're doing something very special for our end of the year.
Yeah, that's right. We're doing the Wikis, which is our award ceremony for the greatest anime of 2016.
We cut it down into specific categories, kind of to make it more fun, like an award show, because it is an award show. It's Wicked Anime's award show. The
yeah.
Wikis.
Yeah, but it's super tough this year, though, because there have been such great animes that we're missing so many of them.
And some not-so-great animes, which makes it even more fun.
Yeah. There's a lot to talk about there, too.
So come on over to our show, Wicked Anime, at nerdyshow.com.
Thanks, guys, and seriously, do tune in to our special Wikis show. It was a real blast to record this year, and in 2 weeks, seeing as I'm taking next weekend off recording due to birthday reasons, be sure to check out No Borders, No Races post-2016 Wikis After Party Mix. I'm hoping to have Sarah and the bros take part in it, so we'll see how that goes. Got 15 great anime openings and endings for your listening pleasure, all from some of last year's best series, and as the bros mentioned, there were a lot of great anime shows in 2016. Before we truly wrap up here, we've got poll results from the members of the J-Pop Amino page, who have voted for the J-Pop album of 2016. And in a stunning battle, we have a tie for the King Banana itself. In first place, the ladies of Perfume shared the award with the gals in Scandal for their records Cosmic Explorer and Yellow, respectively. Not bad choices, if I do say so myself. Coming in second was our Album of the Year pick, Metal Resistance by Babymetal. Then at number three, it was Hikaru Utada returning with Fantôme, her first new album in over 5 years. Bump of Chicken crossed the line at number four with Butterflies, followed by a tie at number five for Galileo Galilei's final release, Sea in the Darkness, and Bandmaid's Brand New Maid. So my thanks to the J-pop Amino community for taking part in the poll. So, to end the final half of our top albums of 2016 shows, I think it's time I give an award to the best EP of 2016. This is for one of those records that had about 4 to 6 songs on there, not enough for an album, but made enough noise to be recognized as a fantastic release. And this year, my award for Best EP goes to a band I've been watching closely since I first saw them on an episode of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, and that would be Ghost. I did enjoy their 2015 album Meliora, but couldn't find a spot to put it on the actual top 20 list of last year, so had to give it an honorable mention. But holy shit, their 2016 EP Pope Star is where the band looks to be ready to truly conquer the music world. The lead single, Square Hammer, was this year's best metal track, and it's a complete and utter travesty that it got ignored by the Grammys. Seriously, it needs to be a top 10 hit on the airwaves, but As we all know, radio kind of sucks now. But the rest of the album features four amazing covers originally performed by Echo and the Bunnymen, Imperiet, Simian Mobile Disco, and Eurythmics, all done in the purely tyrannical metal style that Papa Emeritus III and the Nameless Ghouls have mastered. So yeah, best EP goes to Ghost for Pope Star. And the song we'll be ending this episode with is their cover of Eurythmics' Missionary Man. So, until next time, this is your King Baby Duck wishing everyone a seriously much better 2017.
Well, I was born an original sinner. I was born from original sin. And if I had a dollar bill for all the things I've done, there'd be a mountain of money pile up to my chin. She said be true to yourself and you can't go wrong. But there's just one thing that you must understand. You can fool with your brother, but don't mess with a missionary man. 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 The saints and apostles backing up from behind. Black-eyed looks from those Bible books. He's a man with a mission, got a serious mind. There was a woman in the jungle and a monkey on a tree. The missionary man, he was following me. He said, stop what you're doing, get down up on your knees. I've got a message for you that you better believe.
This is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click
and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.